Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank the Lord for that song. It's encouraging to my heart. I need your prayers this morning. I was confessing this morning to the Sunday school class that I would much rather be the one to give the encouragement than to one that needs the encouragement. But God allows for us sometimes to be in a place where we need to be encouraged. And so I need to humble myself. I need to allow the Lord to encourage me. One thing about the Lord is, just like he's faithful to others, he's faithful to us. And so he's faithful to me. He sees when our heads are bowed low. He sees when our hearts are burdened, and he sees when we are in need, and he comes to rescue us, and he sends an encouraging word. And I thank God right now today for that. I'm in a place where I need that peace in my heart, and I need his love to flow within and through me, and I need him to do that, and I know that he hears this, and he answers our prayers. Normally, I don't say a word of prayer in the pulpit before the message, but this morning I feel inspired to say a quick word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us out this morning. So if you would, just pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and mercy and your kindness and your goodness you have bestowed upon us. Lord, you chose us, Lord, and before the world began, you knew who we were, Lord, and what our jobs was going to be in this life, and you knew about this day, Lord, in March, Lord, the fifth day of March, Lord, you knew it about it, Lord, and you knew what you had for us this day, and so, Lord, I thank and praise your name right now today, and I ask you, Lord, to be with us this morning, Lord, rebuke and bind the powers of Satan and of hell that would come against us, Lord, to discourage us, Lord, to press us down, Lord, lift us up, Lord, and help us and enable us to do your will this morning, Lord. We realize it's not our strength, but it's going to be your strength that helps us. And so we ask you, Lord, to do this now in the mighty name of Jesus. Again, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, you're doing, and going to do for us. We ask you, Lord, to bless us this morning in a mighty way and be with us. Bless the listeners, Lord. Bless the word in Jesus' name. Rebuke Satan. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I desire your prayers this morning as we look into the word. The title of the message is Woman at the Well. The bulk of the reading will be done in John 8, verses 1 through 11. But before we get through that, we have a few comments and a few words, a few scriptures that we want to read first. God is love. And again, one of the things that I was reading about this week, I've thought this for a long time, but I actually read this. I was reading in some Christian writing, some commentary, and it talked about how we hear the same things over and over again, maybe in a different way, but that's God's way. That's how he decided to do with us. And I believe that the reason why that is because we need it. Well, sometimes you hear a message in the morning, you forgot it by the evening time. You don't even know what the message was on. And so God reminds us, and he seems like he teaches us and gives us the message over and over again so that we can get a hold of it. It's not what we have, it's what we do with it. So God reminds us of his love. God is love, and he wants sinners to be saved. If you are outside of the will of God, if you are in a relationship with God there where you are estranged from him, God wants to restore that relationship with you this morning. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to give you deliverance. He wants to heal you and then help you through the remainder of your life. God is a savior. That Jesus Christ came to save sinners, those that are lost. And so I want you to be encouraged this morning that God has salvation for you this morning. All right, and then he wants you, once you are saved, to stay saved, to grow and to be changed, to become into a new man, a new creature in Christ. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. As the Bible says that the meek will he guide in judgments, the meek will he teach his way. And so through salvation, he He will teach you how to live this life, how to be your best you. God is able to do that this morning. And so God is wanting to do that by the grace and help of God. God uses his love to cause things to happen in our life. I want you to go to Colossians 3 and 8. We're going to read down through verse number 10. Well, one thing I want us to understand, that if we're not saved, we need salvation. But if we are saved, we want to be pursuing that new life in Christ, that new way. And by the grace and help of God, God has that for us. So Colossians 3, verses 8, 9, and 10 this morning by the help of the Lord.
But now ye also put off all these, anger,
yes,
wrath,
yes,
malice,
yes,
blasphemy,
yes,
filthy communication out of your mouth.
Yes.
Why not one to another?
Yes.
Saying that ye have put off the old man with his deeds.
Yes.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge.
Yes.
The image of him that created you.
All right, and so through salvation, we put off where God empowers us through his love. When our will and his love become combined, one and intertwined, his power is given to us to do what the Bible is telling us to do, to put off that old man. And so in salvation and in Christ, we don't have to have those old ways anymore. And we talked about this before, but it says put off. It says here in verse number 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. So walk and live in truth. You can't get help unless you live and walk in truth. Yes. Even in salvation, we have to be honest with the Lord. Lord, this is where I'm at. This is what I have going on. And this is what I need you to help me with. Lord, I've got too much pride. I've got too much whatever it is. And the Lord deals with us and he works with us and he helps us and he changes us. Yes. All right, so it says, lie not one to another. All right, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Yes. Now, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. We already quoted this scripture, but I want us to be sure that we don't miss anything. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. What does it say?
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
all right,
he is a new creature.
All right.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All right. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right. So what God is wanting to do for the child of God is to get rid of all those things that does not help us. All right. Anything that cannot help us to represent Christ, then God wants to get rid of that right now today. He's able and he's ready and he's willing to do that. All right. But one of the things that we have to do is we have to get rid of that comfortableness of who we are when we were in sin.
Right.
We have to be willing to unlearn those old ways and learn the new way, God's way. Yeah. May God help us. Sometimes we have become a certain way from a young age, and it has become a part of us to the point where it's very difficult for us to separate what is of us and what is of the enemy. All right? And so we need God to show us what is the enemy, what is our own selves, and then what does God want us to have? May God help us this morning. I want us to go to John chapter 8. I want to read the first verse, and I want us to be thinking about how we deal with those that are in need and those that have a need within their souls. This is God's way. This is the new way. We read all that other stuff because we wanted to understand who God is wanting us to be and how he wants us to not only deal with ourselves, but to deal with others. So let's go to John chapter 8 and read verse number 1 and 2, please. We're going to read on down through 11, but let's read chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 first. All right?
And Jesus went into the Mount of Olives.
All right.
And early in the morning, he came again to the temple.
Okay.
And all the people came unto him.
All right.
And he sat down and talked.
All right. right, and so I want us to understand something. You say, Brother Henry, you say this all the time. You said this over and over again. It's a learning way. Grow as you go and go as you grow. Yes. What Jesus was about was teaching the people, because sin teaches us something. Right. Living in the world teaches us something. And so what God has to do is teach us something completely and totally different. Right. And so what Jesus does, what he was doing is what was necessary and what was needed. All right. And so he went to the temple. He was going to do the will of God, and he began to teach the people. All right. And it's because this is what they needed. All right. Let's read verse number 3 and verse number 4 and see what that says this morning.
And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman.
All right.
An adultery.
Yeah.
All right.
And they had set her in the midst.
All right.
And said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery.
All right.
In the very act.
In the very act. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, historically, we know that they were the ones that will be opposing Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
They were the ones that didn't want to give up the old way. The old way was working for them. We'll do our sin throughout the year, and then on the days that we need to do our atonement, we'll have our atonement ready, and we'll do that, right? And so if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Yeah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God is wanting for us to get rid of that old man. We don't want to be like the scribes. What did they do? The scribes and the Pharisees, they were going out and they were focusing on what the other person was doing. All right? And so when we focus on what the other person is doing, we forget about what's going on with ourselves. And that's good. The enemy wants that. He wants that's good enough for the enemy, isn't it? As long as you're focusing on the other person, then you don't have time to be dealing with what you're supposed to be doing. I want you to look at this scripture. It said they went out and they caught her in the very act. How do you catch somebody in that kind of an act? Number one. Number two, the verse number 3, they said they bought her. Do you think that they bought her willingly, or do you think they forced her to come to see Jesus? Right? So they grabbed her and they with force, and it was this is an attack on her. They grabbed her and they said, listen, we're going to bring you to Jesus, and we're going to force you to deal with Jesus. Right? Right? Is that how we deal with those that need salvation? May God help us this morning.
No.
May God help us. Are you going to force somebody into living saved?
No.
Into living right?
No.
No. What is God's way?
Right.
What's God's way? How does he deal? How does he work? He deals in mercy and in love and in kindness.
Yes.
Right? Y'all remember when you were little, some of us that are of a little bit, I'm not very much in age, but a little bit more in age. Remember that they used to talk about that still small voice?
Yes.
That would be talking to us,
yes,
and dealing with us?
Yes.
Don't go that direction. Don't do those things.
Right.
I'm here. I can help you.
Yes.
That's God's way.
Yes.
All right. And so they took this young lady and they grabbed her and they forced her to see Jesus. There's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 12, and it says, in Philippians 2 and 7, it says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. I find that when I'm working on my own soul salvation with fear and trembling, then I'm not looking to go grab somebody else and straighten them out. May God help us this morning. And so God is wanting for us to focus on what we have going on before the Lord. May God help us this morning. I find this thing. But when I am in a good place with the Lord, then I'm not looking to focus on someone else, but I'm looking to work on me. Yeah. Not only that, if I do see someone in need, then I understand that the same grace and the same mercy that has been afforded to me, they need that same grace and mercy as well. I need the same grace that they have, and so I don't come with the holy hammer. I don't come with grab them around the neck and drag them before Jesus, but I have a spirit of humility and a spirit of love. I want to entreat them. I want them to know. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. There's wisdom in how we approach those that are in need before the Lord. So I find that a lot of prayer goes into dealing with someone before I even get to deal with them. But this was the scribes and the Pharisees' way. This was the way of the world, to grab her and to take her and put her before Jesus. Read verse number 5 and 6, please.
Now Moses and the law commanded us, testimony.
All right.
None should be stoned.
All right.
What says that?
All right.
This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him.
All right.
Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground.
Yes.
As though he heard them not.
All right. And so this is what happened. They grabbed the woman. They forcibly made her come before Jesus. And then they tried to tempt him. They're going to make Jesus be the bad guy now.
Right.
See, they knew the law. See, the law said those that are in adultery, they would be stoned. And so they said, Jesus, we got this woman. We caught her. So she can't say she didn't do it. We caught her and we got her right here. And so what we want you to do is we want you to pronounce judgment on her.
Uh-huh.
May God help us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be up here all day because this message is short and it's sweet. Where am I at before the Lord on these lines?
Yeah.
Many times the severity and the judgment and the hardness and the harshness, what ends up happening is it's usually outgoing.
Right.
It's not on me, Lord. It's not on me. I don't want you, Lord, to deal with me like this. But I'm going to go find somebody caught in the very act. I'm going to drag them to you, Lord. And Lord, you deal with them, Lord.
Uh-huh.
But what did the Lord do? All right. And so what God wants us to understand by the help of the Lord is it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I want us to quote a scripture this morning. And then I want us to quote the scripture that comes right after it. What's John 3:16?
God
so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's the next scripture?
God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world.
Do we really get a hold of what God is trying to say here? He's trying to give us an understanding. In 16, he's telling us what he sent his Son for. In 17, he's telling us what he didn't send his Son for. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right? So we are not in the business of trying to go and condemn somebody. What we want to do is we want to be Christ-like and we want to be saving folks. We want, for our mind is to restore. Our mind is for redemption. Our mind is for recovery. Our mind is for healing. We are not out here trying to harm those that would come to Christ. And not only that, we don't want to be harmed when we come to Christ either. May God help us this morning. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God is wanting to save. He's wanting to heal. He's wanting to uplift. He's wanting to encourage. And he wants you and me to be in that same mindset. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The meek will he guide and judge it. The meek will he teach his way. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. All these things go together.
Yes.
All right? In the dealing with the souls of mankind.
Right.
All right? God is wanting you and I to be a fishers of men. And in order to do that, we have to understand how to deal with the people of God and those that God put in our pathway. All right. So John, getting back to the scripture, John 8:5-8:4, it says, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? You're going to come to God. Think about verse 5.
Yes.
Who do you think gave Moses that law?
Right.
You don't come to God. You see what I'm saying? You see the spirit? So this is what we're talking about this morning.
Yes.
Moses said to take him in stone. This is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. All right? And so God is wanting us to understand this is not what he came to do. He came to save. He came to heal. He came to bless. May God help us this morning. Verse 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Right. Do you know sometimes when there is foolishness going on, we need to not become a part of it?
Right.
Right.
Some things you can't engage.
Right.
Right? True. Because my understanding, if it was me and I'm in this situation, I would be so angry and I would be so defensive in terms of my response to them, right? And I'm not Jesus, and I ain't saying that this morning. But I'm saying that Jesus understood right. that sometimes you don't have to feed into the negativity right. that is coming your way.
Right.
So what did Jesus do? He just act like he didn't hear. Huh? He act like he didn't hear.
Right.
Look, y'all, really? That's what y'all coming to me with this morning?
Right.
May God help us this morning. Somebody read that next scripture for us, and we'll see what Jesus did.
So when they continued asking him,
all right.
he lifted up himself and said unto them,
all right.
he that is without sin among you,
right.
let him first cast a stone at him.
Right.
All right, pause there for us, please. All right, they continue. So they was like, Jesus, what you got to say about this? Yeah. What you got to say? We supposed to stone her, right? Yeah. We supposed to stone her. But notice Jesus, though. What did he do? He didn't say you couldn't stone him, did he?
No, he didn't.
Did y'all notice that? He never said that.
Right.
He never said you couldn't stone him. But what he said is, what condition are you in?
Yes.
What condition are you in, Brother Henry? You see? When we're honest with the Lord, remember we talked about honesty and truth. When we're honest with the Lord, I don't care how long you've been saved and how God has used you. We thank God for that.
Yes.
But you're not in heaven yet.
That's right.
Therefore, if any man think he standeth, do what?
Take heed
lest he fall, right? Yes. And so if we're not in heaven yet, then we still got some growing to do. We got some getting better to do by the grace and help of God. Yes. And so when we're honest with the Lord and he come deal with us, we always have something that we can be working on.
Yes.
We are moving towards perfection, right? Yes. By the grace and help of God. And so when we deal with others, we need to have a certain level of humility, a certain level of love, a certain level of compassion and understanding that we're not in heaven yet. And so therefore, we got some. Just because somebody hadn't grabbed us by the neck and took us to Jesus doesn't mean that we don't have something that we need to be working on.
Right.
May God help us this morning. God in his wisdom and his mercy, the thing about God is, he knows how much we can bear.
Right.
And so he deals with us according to how much we can bear. If we were to see how much work and how much movement we need to do in order to be pleasing to God like he wants us to do, we might get discouraged and quit on the Lord.
Right.
I'll say that again. Did you know that if God were to open up to us how much work we need to do and how far we still need to go, we might get discouraged and quit on the Lord?
Amen.
You understand that? And so what God does in his wisdom and his mercy, what he does is I'm not saying that some, what does the Bible say about ye that are spiritual restore such a one? Is that in there?
Yes.
Huh? Brother, if it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault,
yes.
ye that are spiritual, yes. restore such a one. And so when that person that's spiritual, we talked about it before, they go and they deal in the spirit of love,
yes.
and in the spirit of mercy, realizing that if God had not had mercy upon them, no. there go they, and then worse. May God help us this morning.
Yes.
And so sometimes, if it's not my place to be dealing with that person, then I don't need to be dealing with that person.
Right.
Because if I'm not helping, then what am I doing? I'm hurting, I'm hindering. May God help us this morning. Help me, Lord, to get in a place so I'm one of those that are spiritual.
Yes.
And if I'm not in that spiritual place, then Lord, help me to wait upon you and work on my relationship with God until such time you can use me in that way. Is that sound wisdom and advice this morning?
Yes.
May God help us this morning. I want to tell you something else that I've learned. Not always does God have to use another human being to deal with those in need.
Right.
All right? Some people think that your relationship with God is between you, them, and then God. That's not how it works.
Amen.
That's not how it works. My relationship is with God. Now, God may send somebody to come deal and come work with me, but that will be somebody that God sent, and he's not going to be sending somebody that's not in the right place in their heart and in their mind. You see? And I'm not chomping. If I'm the one, even if I'm a spiritual one, I'm not chomping at the bit to go tell somebody something and straighten them out. That's the wrong spirit. All right, I'm gonna be. If I see something wrong, Lord, help, have mercy, help that person, Lord Jesus. What can I say? What can I do to be an encouragement, to be a blessing, to be a help? Because what I don't want is somebody to go backwards. And I'll tell you why we don't want people going backward. Do you know that every saved person is a blessing to your relationship with God?
Yes.
They are a help and an encouragement.
Yes.
And everybody that goes back on the Lord, that is a loss.
Yes.
May God help us.
True.
May God help us. So we don't want to lose it. We don't have anybody to lose. We don't want to lose anybody, and we want to gain some more, do we not?
Amen.
May God help us this morning. My relationship with God is not between me and then the other person and then God. It's between me and God.
Yes.
And then if God sends someone to deal with me, help me to be in a place of humility. Help them to be in a place of humility, and we both can learn and grow and get better by the grace and help of God.
Amen.
May God help us this morning. So much damage has been done in these areas over time. And Lord, may God help us to get in a place where we understand this and we're not the ones that's doing the damage.
Yes.
May God help us this morning. All right. I need the help from the Lord.
Yes.
Matthew 5 and 7, what does that say? If you know that by heart, say it. Matthew 5 and 7, it's talking about mercy.
Blessed
are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Yes.
The best way I can tell you that this morning is I need it.
Mm-hmm.
I want it. Lord, help me to give it.
Yes.
All right? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's no way any of us would make it without his mercy and grace. I'm talking about saved, and I'm talking about unsaved. You need God's mercy just as much as when you saved as when you wasn't saved. All right? And so we need God to give us his mercy. And so therefore, when he gives it to us, Lord, help us to stop all this dragging folks. And point out their problems and deal with what we got going on.
Yeah.
By the grace and help of God. God can do a lot of help and a lot of work in those ways. All right. Now, go back to John 8 and read 9 through. Did we read 8 already? If we didn't, read 8 through 11. So let's read 8 through 11, please. John 8 through 11. All right.
Stooped down and wrote on the ground.
All right.
And they which heard it,
all right,
being convicted in
okay.
by their own conscience,
all right,
went out one by one,
all right,
beginning at the eldest, even to the last.
Amen.
And Jesus was left alone,
all right,
and the woman standing in the midst.
Yes.
When Jesus had lifted up himself,
yes,
called none but
yes.
the woman,
yes,
he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse you?
Yes.
Where are those thine accusers?
Yes.
Have no man condemned thee?
Yes.
And she said, no, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee.
Praise God.
And sin no more.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise his holy name. See, what? Jesus, remember John 3 and 17.
Right.
God sent not his son into the world
right.
to condemn the world,
right.
but that the world through him might be saved.
Yeah.
What I want you to understand this morning is that hell was not made for you.
Right.
Hell was not made for you. It was for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
And so therefore, what he's trying to do is save you. He wants you saved. So he's not coming to condemn. If you're
right.
wrong, you already know you're wrong.
Right.
You don't need nobody to tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know you're wrong if you're wrong. And so what God is wanting to do, he's not worried about that part. He's worried about the restoration.
Yeah.
He's worried about the deliverance. He's worried about the salvation. That's what he's worried about.
Yeah.
You understand? Because he doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to be in a place where you are without God. Can you imagine all the blessings that God has given you, whether you're saved and unsaved? When you're lost, those are gone. You'll never have those blessings again. You understand what I'm talking about? And so what you want is you want to have that relationship, not only in this life, but in the life to come. You don't want to be without God. Nobody wants to be without God. And that's what he came to do. He came to save. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. All right? May God help us this morning. And so what God did is he said, where's your those that, see, their conscience got on them.
Yes.
Right? Because we know where we at, see?
Right.
Think about what he was doing. He's on the ground and he's writing. And he said, go ahead, stone her. If you good, if you squared away, go ahead and stone her.
Right.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. What happened? Mm-hmm. What happened? He kept on writing. I don't even know what he was writing. I wish I knew what he was writing.
Right?
Maybe it was blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know. But the point is, after a while, listen, you think Jesus didn't know what was going to happen after he said that?
Right.
And then he asked the woman, he said, where are your accusers? Where are those that remember, they grabbed her. Remember what happened now? Let's go back.
Yes.
Somebody had to been paying attention in the first place. Let's see what this lady is doing. Oh, okay, I see her going over with that guy. Okay, all right, we're going to catch her this time.
Uh-huh.
We're going to catch them in the very act. And we go, where was the dude at?
Amen.
He didn't need salvation?
All right.
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
We got it all wrong. Here's the problem, right? When we do these types of things, we give the enemy a great opportunity to discourage somebody.
Right.
Okay? Because here's the problem with this condemning and squaring people away and all that. They're looking at our lives. Those that we are condemning and beating down, they're looking at our lives and they're seeing what we got going on many times.
Help us, Lord.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
May God help us. It's a learning way.
Yes.
It's a learning way.
Yes.
What we want is we want these seats to be filled with children of the Most High God.
Amen.
We want those that have went away to come back.
Amen.
We want those that were the saints' children, we want them in here.
Yes.
And their children and their grandchildren.
Yes.
Because we don't want nobody lost.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? And so this message is to me first, but it's also to everyone else.
Yes.
That's hearing this word of God this morning. Because people don't need to be condemned. They don't need a judge. The Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. They don't need condemnation. They don't need a judge. They need salvation.
Yeah.
They need to be reintroduced to the love of God. And the way that they're going to see the love of God is through you and through me.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to see the love of God. May God help us this morning.
Amen.
We want people to know that when they come to this address, 11501 Riley Crest, they're going to meet the love of God one more time. They're going to see the love of God one more time. They're going to be introduced to the love of God one more time. These are the people of God, and they're doing the work of God. May God help us this morning.
Yes.
Wherever his people are, that's what will identify his people. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple. That what?
We have love
just for the saved people.
No.
Huh? Love for everybody but the stinky people.
No.
Huh? We love everybody. We love everybody. And the reason why we love everybody, because he puts his love in us and we put our love, we give that love to somebody else. Right? And then it comes back to us. All right? And this is how people know that God is real. And this is how people know that God loves them. And this is what gives them courage to come back to the Lord.
Right.
Lord, I know this way ain't going to help me. I know this way ain't going to help
me. Yes. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Help us, Lord.
Yes, my Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't fix it.
Right.
I couldn't fix it.
Yes.
I couldn't fix it. I knew I needed the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
I wasn't going to change for the better, ever.
Right.
It was going to get worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
And then my reward at the end of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Lord, have mercy.
The love of God.
Yes.
It's greater far.
Yes.
Than tongue or pen can ever tell.
Yes.
It goes beyond the highest star.
Yes.
And it reaches way down.
Yes.
To the lowest hell.
Yes.
The guilty pair bowed down with care. Yes. God gave his son to win.
Yes.
His erring child.
Yes.
He reconciled.
Yes.
And pardoned from his sin.
Yes.
Oh, love of God, how rich and pure.
Yes.
How measureless and strong.
Yes.
It shall forevermore endure the saints and the angels' song.
Yes.
We have the love of God available to us.
Yes.
Right now today.
Yes.
Right now today. If
yes.
there's a need in our souls.
Yes.
We can come to this altar and have that love anoint our lives, and we don't ever have to be without it again. And those of us that need to draw closer to the Lord, that we may be better Christians and be better lovers, if you will. May God help us. We can get that right now today at the altar of prayer. May God help us this morning. Is there a number? Is there somebody that has a need in their soul for the love of God? May God help us this morning. I want to show the love of God. I want to show Christ. I don't want nobody lost. I don't want nobody suffering. May God help us this morning. That's the mind of Christ. May God help us this morning. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. No more condemning. Oh, we just want to love. We want to show God's love, and we want people to get to the God that we know. May God help us this morning. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. If anybody has a song, let's call a number. Anybody have a need in their heart, the altar is open, and some will be there to pray with you. Most importantly, God's love will meet you there. May God help us this morning.
Amen.